It is the Brett Witterbull Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty, on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, on a cold and rainy afternoon. It's good to be here with you today, coach.
It's good to be here. I love my Thursdays with Brett Witterbull.
And coach is presented by Neogenics, where all you have to lose is pain. It's good to be with you and looking at these big stories that are out there moving. This is a big story, and I think it's going to get bigger and bigger as time goes on. I don't know if it's going to end up happening, but I think it's a big story. And that is, per Axios, this rule is now coming out from the Biden administration, formerly known as the COVID-19 Vaccination and Testing Emergency Temporary Standard. It is coming out. It's going to be enforced by OSHA. It is that's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. So they're the people you would report to if there was an unsafe work environment for whatever reason. You know, they don't let us they don't let us use tongs to pull the French fries and chicken out of the fryer. We have to use our hands. You would file that kind of a complaint, and then they would they'd make sure that you got tonged or whatever it was that you had to do.
I don't like getting tonged.
So you get tongs. So you go in there, you pull that food right out of that fryer, yeah. Or getting tonged. They will affect roughly 2/3 of America's workforce, 88 million people. Many businesses and hospitals have already started to enforce vaccine mandates, while Axios reports that they have seen minimal noncompliance. That doesn't exactly square with the fact that less than 60% of the American population is fully vaccinated. While corporations might be able to absorb some of these costs, small businesses will be left with some tough decisions to make. And what it is OSHA is going to rely on informers.
Informants.
Rats. People that drop dimes.
Snitches
who call in, report the company. They say, hey, the guy in my football pool, I know he's not vaxxed. He's bragging about not being vaxxed. We got 50 employees. Light him up. That's what they're going to do. And they'll send the SWAT team to his house and kick the door in and jab him right there in front of the crying children.
Yes.
I'm kidding. They'll probably make him go to some dingy basement somewhere where they'll be vaxxed by Jen Psaki or something. So they're going to rely on complaints, informants, to enforce the rule. It's going to be up to American workers whether or not they want to hold their fellow workers accountable for defying the policy, coach.
You talk about dissension on the team. Some people like, hey, I want to shoot the ball more.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to start.
Yeah.
Hey, you haven't gotten a shot.
Yeah. I'm calling the NCAA.
You haven't gotten a shot.
Right.
I'm not going to snitch on you.
That's right. That's right. You haven't gotten the shot. We're going to call the NCAA. We're going to file a Title IX. We're going to do something like that. We're going to get this program sanctioned.
Can I voice an opinion?
Please. Do it.
First of all, this is only for companies that have 100 or more employees.
Yes.
Okay?
That's correct.
So it really doesn't impact the smaller businesses.
True.
Because most small businesses have, 10 to 20 mm-hmm. employees.
Mm-hmm.
However, if they're going to do contractual work for larger companies, then it could impact them.
That's correct.
But I don't think, it's kind of like the old policy in the military, don't ask, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people going around really asking if you're vaccinated or not.
Except for...
There's a lot of work from home.
That's true.
So, okay, if you're not vaccinated, but we're not in the office, what do I care?
You got to get shot. You got to get the shot. It's 100 or more. Whether you're sitting in your adult diaper
but what
in the
do
living
you,
room or what? I mean,
who told you? Who told you? Did Kelly tell you?
No. But they're
it's not the living room.
It's the greenhouse. So, but if you're not, if you're still working for the company, whether you're at home,
but my point is, if I'm an employee, you and I are on the same team,
mm-hmm.
but we're working from home, and I know you haven't gotten vaxxed, and the only incentive, like OSHA is going to only find out about the mm-hmm. company and mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. if I report you.
That's correct.
What's really, unless I'm a super duper jerk, why would I call in? Because you're not a threat to me because we're both working for home.
That's right. But it's also possible you're going to have vindictive people. They know you're a Trumper for the last 4 years. They don't like your politics. They're going to drop dime.
I'm not a Trumper anymore.
They're sticklers. I don't mean you.
I'm a youngkin.
You're a youngkin. That's right. The young win. It's an interesting situation because there are people who are going to have access to information in those companies. HR is going to have access as to whether or not you turned in a COVID card. You acknowledge that you did take the shot. All that sort of stuff. You know, there are a lot of reasons.
This is what I'm hearing on the street. Okay, I ask. I mean, I run a I'm a Vistage chair. I work with CEOs for small to mid-sized companies. And in the last meeting, I asked, "What are you guys doing? What are you hearing? What are you doing?" Like, we're just waiting. Because the mandate hasn't, you know, got to go into effect. They've got to reinforce it. Then you're waiting for the lawsuits. You know, what's going to shake out from the lawsuits?
Lawsuits have been filed already, preemptively, to stop this from going into effect. But
yeah, but my point is, what's the fallout from the lawsuit? So, you know, there could be much ado about nothing.
I will double dog dare anybody to prove to me that you're going to find a federal judge that's going to strike this down. They will not, because Antifa will be in their living room burning their house down. For the same reason that some judges didn't want to take some cases during that intermittent period between the vote and the count. I believe that there are plenty of people that are going to be very into what this has become. This is the left's version of the Texas abortion law. The Texas abortion law where you could get rewards and gifts and gift certificates if you could report somebody that had an abortion that was out of alignment with the law. That's what this is. This is an administration that is committed to punitive behavior.
Yeah.
And when the way it's read here, workers with more than 100 workers on their payroll, could be workers, that could be cleanup staff, that could be weekend part-timers. I mean, there's a lot of people that can be on the thing. If not, they face federal fines starting at tens of thousands of dollars per offense. That's a motivation for people to get even with the company.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, it is.
I think this is a dirty play by a president who knows he's got nothing in front of him for the next 3 years.
He's also got nothing to lose right now. He's desperate.
Nothing to lose. So we're going to take your calls on this, a bunch of other stuff. Coach has great thoughts on Virginia and beyond. I can't wait to dive into that. That's a big, big story. We're taking your phone calls. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull and the coach, Matt Doherty. And Coach, where do people find you? Where do they get in touch, reach out, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, the best thing is probably my website, which is CoachMattDoherty.com, and it has all my information there. My email is CoachMattDoherty@gmail.com, and then I'm on Twitter @DohertyMatt. So, yeah, appreciate it.
No, always good. Always good to have you here. You got one of your friends, colleagues, reached out and pointed out some of the number of states that have already filed a lawsuit on this vaccine mandate that's going to be hitting businesses starting in January.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Kevin Dale, texted us during a break and said that 19 states have sued over this mandate. And so I think it's going to be tied up for a while. And I think that, you know, as a result, businesses, especially the smaller businesses, you know, as we discussed, I think during a break you talked about the bigger businesses, and yeah, I think the as you mentioned, the bigger businesses are more proactive, but the smaller ones, it will eventually trickle down to them. Maybe, maybe not. You know, it could be crippling to them because you know, big companies with big brands, it's hard for people to walk away, but smaller companies. You know, if it gets to that level, it could be devastating to some of them.
Absolutely. Let's take a couple of phone calls on this. We got people queuing up. Let's go to Pete first up here. Pete, welcome to the show with Coach and Brett.
Brett, Coach, how are you doing?
Doing great.
On this mandate of the number of employees a company can have, you know, they set it at 100. Well, what's going to happen? A company that's got 102. 105, 110 employees, those companies will cut loose some employees. They'll get under that 100 number. So here you're going to have workers in America that's going to lose their job, which means they don't pay taxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the government to collect. The other side of that is kind of the coach is touching on it a little bit. Large companies who utilize smaller companies as contract employees sometimes.
Yep.
Or do a give them a job within the company or maybe a contracting type job to build something. They're going to push it down to say, for you to do business with us, your employees have to be vaccinated. So that's how it's going to affect the smaller businesses that are under 100.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I don't hear is that the government's setting this goal at 100 for people who work. What are they doing about all the people who are on social programs, who are receiving government assistance,
yeah,
welfare? Are they pushing back on those people who
wow
don't work?
Wow, that's a great question.
And getting that free money? Are they vaccinated? Are they not going to be? They're taking money away from people who work over this,
mm-hmm,
but they're not touching those who don't work.
Well, I think we know the answer to that because of the inflow of 2 million across the border in the last few months. And they're not making them get shots. They're just flying them all over and putting them on buses and saying adios.
Yeah, it's a attack on the American worker.
Yeah, it is.
And you remember Biden gave a speech a few weeks ago. I guess it was a news conference. He said the words that he was losing his patience.
Yes, he said that. That's right. He did.
Mm-hmm. That was some serious words.
Yep. That's a great point.
You're losing your patience. What are you going to do next?
Mm-hmm. He was very angry. He was very sharp about his language. In fact, he didn't just say he was losing his patience. He said, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated and that he was tired of it. Pete, great observations, man. Thank you for calling in.
Have a good day, guys.
All right.
Yeah, I think Pete's pick up on the angry, impatient mm-hmm tone. And Biden's been known to do that, right?
For sure.
He can get irritated real quick.
And he hasn't had any successes. None of these bills have passed. He's gone overseas. He's come up short time and time again. Maybe he's gonna start to say, I'm gonna hold Americans to blame because of this.
Make them pay. Because he's from the mean streets of Scranton.
Look, he fought Corn Pop.
Right.
He fought Corn Pop. He sat in the pool and the kids played with his leg hairs.
Yeah. And he's a tough guy.
He's Joe from Scranton.
He's
Scranton Joe, demanding he wants people to bow down before Scranton Joe.
Scranton Joe.
Scranton Joe.
Scranton Joe, heavyweight contender.
I predict, not 2 months from now, once we get into the new year, they're going to start carrying him around in a sedan chair. Going to have like four people carrying around, and they're going to probably do that thing that they play when he comes around. Oh, yo, yo. Oh. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Coach, people want to continue commenting on this vax mandate thing. In fact, as we speak, the White House Deputy Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who's in for Jen Psaki because Jen Psaki has the COVID.
Has COVID.
She's answered questions, and she just said, oh, the White House is confident that the vaccine mandates will stand up in court. On the vax mandates, we're trying to save lives, she says.
What is she supposed to say? I mean, what you know what I mean?
There
it's like,
go.
Hey, coach, you think you're going to have a good season? No, I don't think we're going to have a good season.
Right.
We're going to struggle this year.
That's right.
And you're going to enjoy it.
Jeez.
Right?
That's well done.
We're going to have a good year. I'm real positive about it.
But she's being honest. She's saying, listen.
Oh, they're all honest in
the White
House.
It's about health.
It's about health. Saving lives.
We're saving lives. In fact, there are flyers going out in Seattle.
Yes, talk about those flyers.
These flyers that are going out. Well, let me take this call first on the vax mandate, because Jeff's been holding on patiently. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show with Brett and the coach.
Good afternoon, both you guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, doing fine. Right quick, you're starting to hear a little bit more and more about people who are getting sick from the vaccine. I just went to a funeral in Asheville last week. A friend of mine, 56 years old, took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine 2 weeks ago this last Monday and just passed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because of complications from it. So that's just something I was throwing out there. You're starting to hear a little bit more about that. But now being a small-sized company myself with 50 employees, mm-hmm. you know, we got something we have to worry about down the road. Hopefully not. But I think what they should have probably done was say, if you work at a large company and you're on our insurance plan and you are not vaccinated, mm-hmm. you must opt out of the insurance to save our company money. That is the only way I could ever see that the vaccine could be mandated in a company,
that's
maybe for insurance purposes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is very interesting.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know any other way this is ever going to work, because you know good and well that whether you're vaccinated or not, you can still get it and still spread it.
Well, that's,
so that is my big confusion. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to comprehend that.
Jeff, you and I are on the same page.
That. Yeah.
If you're vaccinated and I'm not, why are you afraid of me?
I'm not.
That's my point. Why are you afraid? Why does someone afraid if they're vaccinated, if they're afraid of me? You know, I should be equally afraid of them because they might have COVID and give it to me. Now,
why is this not brought out more? I mean, why I see people on the news every day, we're going to get our kids vaccinated. We don't want them to get it. But it doesn't matter. You're still going to get it whether you're vaccinated or not. And it just blows my mind when I see these interviews.
Yeah.
I think that the government, to some degree, and I think they're getting exposed now, the Democratic Party doesn't respect the intelligence of the people. And I think now there's a new kind of wokeness. People are waking up to the disrespect that's being shown, and they're fighting back. And I think that's what we're seeing in Virginia right now.
And just like at the celebration of life we have for this person last week, the pastor gets up on the podium and he says, you know, he had the choice of the shot or not to take the shot. It was a hard decision. He took the shot. He is not here.
Yeah.
And it was really sobering when you hear it in that context.
Yep.
We're sorry to hear that, Jeff. Keep in touch and let us know how this process is through your company, okay?
Sure will. Thank you a lot.
Thanks. Be well. The Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the OSHA standards, right, which is imposing the vaccine and the testing requirements on the private businesses, are forcing heavy burdens on unvaccinated workers who choose the testing option. So here's how it goes. It requires them to wear a mask in all social situations, places the burden of testing costs on the individual, so the companies don't pay it. OSHA's rule does not require employers to pay for any costs associated with testing. They released the rule this week, as we all know, companies with more than 100 employees. Now, listen to this. The rule, which goes into effect on January 4th, involves planned inspections. So they're going to roll. They won't go and inspect a meatpacking plant that might have illegal immigrants working there, but they will do a raid on your accounting office or whatever it is that you're doing. Planned inspections and heavy fines for each person not vaxxed, $14,000 to start. And that's just the money that they're going to give back to the feds, whatever the guy's going to put in his pocket. He's going to say, yeah, you know what?
Take credit card.
I'll tell you what.
Take
I'm going to hit you for $28,000. Kick me six. I'll take the $22,000. We're good to go. This is gangsterism. I mean, this is literal gangsterism. This is the Gambino crime family.
If you want to run your business,
correct.
You better pay me for protection.
That's right. That's right. Hey, coach, a nice business you got there with your with your coaching the people and all that. How many people do you have on those calls with you? You got 100 people on the calls? Are they all tested? They all compliant? Well, we're going to hit you with it. Get out of here. It's not right. It's not American.
100%.
We got to stand up.
And we're two people that have been vaccinated.
That's correct.
But it's our choice. And you want it to be our choice.
That's right. But they're going to hit you with the booster demand. They'll say, you didn't get your boosters.
Next.
Your boosters aren't up to date.
What is behind? And I've asked you this before.
Yeah.
What's behind all this?
I know what's behind all this.
Power and control?
It's power and control, but it's something even more nefarious than just straight power and control. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brent Winterbull, Coach Matt Doherty in the house. So we were talking about this, where this end game goes with all this stuff. I asked a question on my Facebook page earlier today, and I said this. I said, here's the question for you. Who is running the Democrat agenda in America? Not just who's running the party, who is running the ideas and the candidates that they're running on? Same for the Republican side, okay? Who's driving this direction that's happening in our country today? And I contend it's not Soros, Obama, Clinton, Trump. It's none of those people. It's something way more dangerous and insidious, because it's not a person. It's not a person that's doing this, okay? These ebbs and these flows that you see with these vaccine mandates and with the going after businesses and going after organizations and all that sort of stuff. This is my sincere belief. We are never going to get out of this COVID mindset, okay? This is going to be a permanent mindset, the same way the Cold War was a permanent mindset for 50, 60 years in the wake of World War II, until the end of the Soviet Union. So what I believe is happening is this unholy marriage, and it is a truly unholy marriage, it's a frighteningly unholy marriage between big tech and the news organizations that are out there. And by news, I'm talking predominantly about network news programs and the cable channels. All right. Here's the thing. Hurricanes, 9/11, the war on terror, the school shootings, God forbid, horrible incidents in places around the world. Those have expiration dates on them. Okay. Even 9/11 had an expiration date on it. And then we went into the war on terror for 20 years. Joe Biden turned that off when he surrendered in Afghanistan, all that kind of stuff. This is a unique opportunity that creates a chance for there not to be an end date on this. So I contend that we have the COVID, which takes us out for a year and a half. And then we get into the vaccines, which is taking about a year, right? We're about a year into the vaccine experiment. And then it's going to be booster shots. And then it's going to be, what do you tell your children about COVID? Because it's going to be a multi-generational challenge. And you have to now proselytize to your children to tell them, hey, do you believe the science? Do you believe in science with the COVID? Do you believe in taking the shot? Yes, I do. Do you believe the science with the climate change? Yes, I do. Do you believe the science with this next thing and that next thing? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe the science. Why does this deal with big tech and the media? Because here's what happens. The media just has to go out there and find one outlier, one reprobate, one instance of something. They then report it on the cable channels. They then report it on the cable channels. And here's a little insight. It ain't going to be the Wuhan Virology Lab. It's going to be this man who runs a business told his employees if they get the shot, they'll be fired. I'm making that up. And what happens is they do that story on CNN. It's a made-up story. They do that story on CNN, and then they tweet it out, and it gets repeated.
It gets legs. People watch it, so then, okay, then the algorithm with all the tech
kicks it up,
make it a bigger story than it really is.
Fox and Friends gets angry about it. They start yelling about it.
Right.
Now all of a sudden people are debating about it.
It's
and
top
here
of
on
mind.
Talk radio, we're talking
and you believe
about it
because it's said
and all of that. So you have to understand what's driving all of this in your life, where you go, "Damn it! 20 years ago, it wasn't like this." Is this marriage between the Jim Acostas and the Brian Stelters and the people who work on CNN and MSNBC and people on Fox to a large extent too? They are all married in with big tech, and it amplifies and it amplifies and amplifies until the next turn. Why does Tony Fauci still have a job? Because there's always a new chapter. Today it was Rand Paul yelling at him. And if you watched The Exchange, it was very much like Rand Paul yelling at him 2 months ago. But Anthony Fauci remains. Why? Because he's the heel. A lot of this is like wrestling. Okay? It's like wrestling. And Fauci's the heel, except when critical race theory parents are the heel, except when and this is a changing thing. So there's no one person. Soros isn't calling people up going, "Be sure to lose in Virginia." He's not doing that. "Be sure to win in Ohio." He's not doing that. It's because it's all on autopilot now. You need one 21-year-old idiot who came out of a terrible college with an indoctrination that cannot be reversed to find one whisper of a story that might have happened, and now suddenly it's a march on those people. Now, here's what's crazy about it. This happened for a reason. I'm not even talking about the COVID. I'm talking about the circumstances under which we're living right now. when Donald Trump came down the escalator, he was a clown to them. He gets elected. They tried to destroy him with the intelligence community. They understood what the stakes were going to be. They kept coming at him and coming at him and coming at him. They started to take the people who followed Donald Trump very seriously because they were loyal to him. And then January 6th happened, and they said, this can never happen again. We're going to wrap the Capitol in steel. We're going to deprogram the military. We're going to tell anybody who's an anti-vaxxer that you're in cahoots with those people that tried to overthrow the government. And so if you don't take the shot, you're a bad American. If you don't take the shot, you're not a patriot. If you don't take the shot, you are the second coming of an insurrection. You're not welcome to work. You're not welcome to worship. You're not welcome to go to restaurants or to shop in supermarkets. You're not welcome in polite society. And that's the news that's going to push it. And that's big tech that's going to amplify it. That's what I believe is actually happening. Am I crazy?
Well, I mean, you might be crazy, but I don't think, no.
It's about control.
That's the question is the why. You know, why, like, what, how do they gain control? What benefit of the that, how does that benefit them in terms of control?
$3.5 trillion, $6.5 trillion, $70 trillion. It's about access to the purse.
To the pharmaceutical companies?
No, for government spending. This, you know, we have to, because if you trust the science on COVID, you have to trust the science on climate. And we have to spend this money to make this money.
And then the spending goes to their
projects.
Their projects.
And their special interests.
And the special.
And they don't ever regulate big tech because they need them. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Hour number two of the Brent Winterbull Show. Well, there's no place I'd rather be than with this man right now today, Matt Doherty, the coach, Matt Doherty, in the house. Good to have you here, coach.
Oh, it's a great day. Great. Matter of fact, great week.
It's been a great week.
Great week.
Big week. You know, we're talking about this vax mandate stuff, and certainly you are free to pick up any of these pieces from across the program. You want a question, comment, concern, a thought, a take, go ahead and do it. 704-570-1110. Coach Matt Doherty is here. Now, Coach, we didn't really get to catch up too much in the wake of what happened Tuesday night. A lot of jam-packed information coming out of these elections. Big win for Youngkin down in Virginia, or up in Virginia. Your thoughts, what are you feeling? What are you hearing about this?
Well, I think what you just touched on is, what are you feeling? To me, that's so important. I'm feeling hope. I'm feeling uplifted. I'm feeling that there's hope for our country because since the elections in the fall, quite frankly, since Biden has taken over, I've been a little depressed and concerned about the future of our country and the country that, you know, our kids will inherit. But this win for Youngkin beating McAuliffe, And it's obviously right next to D.C., right? It's neighboring, you know, so the politics spill over into the state because people live in McLean, Virginia. They're going to vote for the governor, but they work in D.C. So the bleed over, and yet for a Republican to beat an incumbent in Terry McAuliffe, I think speaks volumes. And also speaks volumes about how disappointed even probably some of the Democrats are in Joe Biden and his leadership.
I think you're exactly spot on. Can I just play a quick clip for you? Just I think you'll find it interesting.
It's
here.
Your show, Brett.
Well, okay, but to bolster what it is that you're saying, I think you'll like this. This is cut 28. This is President Biden talking about Terry McAuliffe. This was late yesterday. Here's what he said about McAuliffe's loss, and I'm curious, you being a coach, your take. Go.
I was talking to Terry to congratulate him today. He got 600,000 more votes than any Democrat ever has gotten. We brought out every Democrat about there was, more votes than ever has been cast for a Democratic incumbent. I'm not incumbent, a Democrat running for governor. And no governor in Virginia has ever won when he's of the same, or he or she's the same party as the sitting president.
That's kind of, that feels like an out on the back end, doesn't it?
You know what that is? It's one of those stats that you have. We all have sports information directors.
Yep.
And the really good ones come up with these stats that just can make your program maybe feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But the wise fan is looking at that stat saying, that's a BS stat. Like, who cares? Like, there's no governor in the state of Virginia, a Democratic governor, that won when the president of the country was a Democrat.
Yeah.
So like, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
China.
Can I say that?
China.
That was a saying when we were growing up, right?
There was tea priced in China. Sure.
Right. So he's just trying to cover. He basically just threw Terry out
100%
to the wolves. Like, hey,
exactly.
Yeah, this is where John F. Kennedy said, "Victors have many fathers, but losers are orphans."
Exactly.
I botched that quote a little bit.
Pretty darn close.
But pretty close.
Yep.
And so, you know, he's trying to create space from Terry and basically McAuliffe and basically saying that it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. Because he lost, he's gotten more votes than any other, you know, Democratic governor ever.
Mm-hmm.
So look at me. I helped with that. It's not my fault.
Right.
So he's pointing fingers at his team. It's like a leader should do. When you lose, you take the credit. Mm-hmm. When you win, you give the credit to your team.
Right.
And what he's doing now after a loss is he's throwing Terry McAuliffe under the bus.
So you're telling me that if I'm the coach, I don't say, "Hey, we scored the most points of any team that ever lost in a contest."
Yeah. No. We really won. I mean, when you know, he's
trying. It's a moral victory?
He's into moral victory. That exactly right. It's a moral victory.
How much do you hate that as a coach?
Like, it's awful. But what I hate more is that he's throwing McAuliffe and he's creating separation.
Yes, he is.
He's saying, "I'm not associated with him."
Well, you know why? Terry carries the big C name attached to him, Clinton. Terry's a Clintonista, a Clintonite, and Joe is an Obamanite. And, you know, the Clintons and the Obamas, they knocked heads in a big way.
Hatfields and the McCoys.
They asked him, by the way, Coach, just to continue this, and we will continue this deep dive. This is cut number 30. He says, these bills that I'm trying to pass, like, they wouldn't even have mattered in this election.
I think we should have passed before Election Day. But I'm not sure that I would be able to have changed the number of very conservative folks who turned out in the red districts who were Trump voters, but maybe.
So those rednecks, they did me in.
You know, the thing, and this is what is concerning, which is very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Trump voters. Trump is the previous president. He's in the rear view, should be in the rear view mirror of Joe Biden.
Amen.
But he is in the forefront. Trump is renting space in Joe Biden's head. And that's a distraction for any decision that he should make. He's bypassed him. He's won.
Right.
So now focus on running the country. Now, instead of being distracted by Donald Trump, who's playing golf in Florida.
Mm-hmm. But he could run the country if all those Trump people in the Congress and the Senate weren't blocking his plans. That's what he would tell you.
I very conservative people.
In the red districts, the Trump voters. So what he's basically, these hillbillies, these red hillbilly rednecks didn't understand the sophistication of Terry McAuliffe and Joe Biden.
Listen. Here's the deal. Biden's taken over, mm-hmm. and I think the media has been soft on him,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he's taken over, and immediately we've had issues with the border,
yep.
Afghanistan, the supply chain, the economy, inflation, mm-hmm. jobs, COVID, and he can't push through his so-called infrastructure package.
Right.
Okay? And then he mentions Trump supporters regarding Youngkin. What, like, who does that?
Mm-hmm.
Why would he do that? He's shook. He is shook. And in the I love this article. I think it was written by Miranda Devine, you shared it with me from the New York Post.
Yeah.
And it said there's Biden remorse.
Biden remorse. Exactly right.
Love it.
Let's dive into this, folks. Give us your thoughts. Does Biden remorse exist? Maybe you are remorseful of voting for him. Maybe you are saddened by what you've seen or not. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. This coach doing layups.
That's a great song.
Mississippi Queen.
Back in the day, I could at least like layunk. They call it layunk, where you lay it up and then you kind of dunk by grabbing the rim. So it's like a layunk, we called it.
A layunk. That's awesome. You know what? That's interesting. I wonder if the president could do a layunk these days. It depends on the height of the rim, maybe.
He could barely dunk a donut.
Wow! That's good. Promo that. That's good stuff. So the president's trying to get his agenda pushed through. You were talking about that Miranda Devine piece at the New York Post, right, about a Biden remorse, feeling remorseful. Election, a wake-up call for the woke, which is interesting stuff because what she's alluding to is the idea that you had CRT, you had parents upset about how things were going, school board meetings getting sideways and out of hand, right? All that sort of stuff. Now, here's the great overlooked part of this whole story, and I want to get your reaction to this because in politics, everything is interconnected at some level. TJ, I'm going to go with 31, somebody that you like a lot, Mike Johnson, who is a congressman from Louisiana.
Louisiana?
Louisiana. He's he's a Go Tiger guy. Mike Johnson doing an interview with Fox Business talking about how it is they still haven't had any response from Merrick Garland with the investigation into the parents and the domestic terrorism. Mm-hmm. Fired up, TJ.
The National School Board Association, receiving all the public outcry after that hearing, retracted their letter and apologized for it. And still today, as you and I are speaking, Liz, the Attorney General has not withdrawn his memo. He based it upon these allegations, these wild allegations by the School Board Association that no longer exist. They've retracted it, and yet he won't take that step. So what we've done is we've sent letters to all the U.S. attorneys. There are 94 different judicial districts around this country, all 50 states. We're asking them what, if anything, they've done to advance this memo, this unprecedented directive by the Attorney General, and we're awaiting those results. Well, it'll be very interesting to see.
So that was a huge component in what happened in Virginia, too. The idea that you tell the parents they got no business.
Oh, yeah.
Terry McAuliffe says you got no business.
You got no business
being
having
involved.
Input in your child's education.
That's right.
Like, listen, we're not going to pick out the textbook, right?
Right.
But we don't want you teaching critical race, about homosexuality. You don't want to teach, whites against the blacks, how privileged the white people are. No. We just teach the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. We have a right to know what's on the reading list.
That's right.
You could take a college course, you're going to get a reading list, right?
Syllabus.
Syllabus?
Yeah.
Great word.
Good word.
That's a good word.
I can't spell it, but yeah.
But they tell you, you can't even know what's, you don't need to know. You get the mushroom diet. You're in the dark and don't worry about anything else
that's
going on.
I like that.
In that room. But that's one of the big things that was underlying this. And you've not heard the White House address that, the concerns of parents. They never even addressed the concerns of Merrick Garland's memo.
Because they support it, right? So what are they going to say? They can't counter it. They can't say, oh, that's bad. So they keep it quiet because they're going to continually now promote it and support it underground. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the accountability? Well, you touched on it earlier. Where's the accountability for Fauci?
Zero.
He's still in his seat.
Gone.
Why should Merrick Garland be any different?
And that's important because you spoke earlier about the president of the United States, Joe Biden, being very punitive in his approach. You know, he's had it. He's sick and tired of this, and you better get the shot. And now we have this vax mandate, which is punishment. Let's be honest. That's what it is. Merrick Garland is punishment for parents that get out of line.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to sit there and behave yourselves and be quiet, you can be part of the meeting. But if you have anything to say, we'll put you in the handcuffs.
That's right.
You head on down the
aisle. You're a terrorist.
I mean, right.
A terrorist.
You're a terrorist. A domestic terrorist.
That's right.
Because you went to a meeting because they said that your daughter wasn't assaulted, and you went to the meeting to say, hey, guys, what are you doing? And then the next thing you know, you get the wooden shampoo and you're in handcuffs going into the wagon. I don't want to say what they used to call it. I'm being sensitive. Paddy wagon. Anyways, you don't want
That's against the Irish. I take offense to that.
I'm calling Merrick Garland right now.
I take offense to you calling it the paddy wagon.
No.
Is that because they locked up a lot of Irishmen?
No.
Because they were drinking too much?
I'm thinking peppermint paddy wagon.
Like peppermint
delicious. Paddy. Candy. The candy truck. He's crying. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brent Winterble Show. Coach Matt Doherty here in the house. Coach is here, by the way, because of Neogenics.
Yes.
Neogenics. Where all you have to lose
is pain.
Is pain. Also, which should be noted, you are the creator and the host of the great podcast series as well.
Thank Rebound Podcast. 10 of them have been dropped. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the WBT website to find them and listen to them. And I've gotten good feedback on that. And I hope to do another series here in the next few months.
It's going to be awesome. And you've got the great book, Rebound, as well.
Rebound from Pain to Passion. I've enjoyed. That's been a really worthwhile project. Mm-hmm. It's really cool when you get positive feedback from people who have read the book, companies buying the book, and I reference it a lot in the corporate talks that I give. And it's been really neat the last year for me as developing my executive coaching practice with Vistage, writing the book, doing the podcast, and working with you on Thursdays here at WBT.
Fun stuff. And I know someone who read the book, actually. I know somebody, very nice person that read the book.
You read it?
Jim. Jim read the book.
Jim read the book.
Jim, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. I've heard that I read the book.
You did. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I'm happy to be back on WBT again, which stands for World's Best Talk.
Whoa!
Wow, you're sucking up. You're sucking up.
Oh, I'm not done, Coach.
I'm not
on the air. I'm not on the air with a coach. We are on the air now with the coach. That book has put you at the vanguard of what this country needs the most. It is such a good guideline for every person that finds themselves in a leadership capacity of any way, shape, or form.
Wow. Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, it's true. What you've done, where you came from, I mean, where you were at in the book when you got that tap on the shoulder to tell you, where, you know, in 1984, to what you've become now, what you've done is basically an icon for leadership, for anybody that wants to know what the positive way forward is amazing. It really is.
Well, thank you. As John Maxwell says, you want to fall forward. And when I've fallen, which I've done many times and I'll probably do again, I always want to try to fall forward and make progress and learn from it. Because it is a mindset. What happens to you really happens for you. Mm-hmm. And if you have that mindset, you can grow from it. So thank you, Jim. I really appreciate it. And I'll stop saying bad things behind your back.
That's all right.
Jim, what do you want to say about big? What do you want to weigh in on this big tech thing?
Well, I think you see it that the government is powerful. Yes, the government controls a lot of strings. The government. Mm-hmm. Dictates a lot to a lot of the segment of the private industry and corporations and conglomerates. But I really think that the tail is wagging the dog, that it really was Obama's, it should have been his mandate to put antitrust suits forward against big tech. And since he didn't, they just became this giant colossus that is really controlling what the government does. And, you know, big tech relies on the processing the information and now the disinformation to be able to control everybody. So they're not interested in making things better or doing things to make people prosper or proliferate mankind at all.
Yeah.
It is at a point where they have a finite amount of information resource. And the more they can apply to one person, the less people there are, the better it is for them. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. Great analysis, and thank you for calling in, my friend.
Thank you for having me on.
You got it. I'm going to take the occasion of his call with the big tech thing and what we were talking about earlier I just forwarded you a release that came out from Kevin Brady out of Texas, Republican. He's one of the big leaders on the tax committee, Ways and Means, there in D.C. So remember the thing where we talked about the IRS snooping on your bank accounts and all that kind of stuff? So despite enormous opposition from the American people, the Democrats are still insisting on turning these banks into local chapters of the IRS to report on our transactions. They talk about the tax gap. On Wednesday of this week, a Treasury official said Democrats are still trying to get this past the finish line. They're still trying to get the tax surveillance as part of this package. Democrats have vowed a number of things, but under this IRS surveillance plan, audits will increase for taxpayers at all income levels. Farmers, families, small business, they're the true targets involved in this. The CBO analysis that's been done, that's the Congressional Budget Office analysis, assumes that under the president's proposal, audit rates would rise for all taxpayers, including EITC audits, and those, that's the earned income tax credit audits, and those of other lower and middle class workers. So they're looking at coming at everybody because they think that's a sponge they can squeeze a lot of money out of. And, you know, they know that if the IRS comes to look at your returns and hits you with a bill, it's the one agency you're likely to write a check to. That's the one agency you're likely to settle with. So this is a very extensive shakedown scheme that's going to be run against the American people. And this, I think, falls right into the big tech model, because someone's going to complain. They're going to get squashed on the cable channels, and then big tech will vilify them. Whatever it's going to be some story that just resonates really well, and that they can then weaponize against people who want to repeal this sort of thing, which I think is a terrible thing.
Well, it is a terrible thing, and it's another thing that just slows down the economy.
Yep.
And another thing that puts in control.
That's right.
We can take certain things as one-offs, the vaccine or the audits.
Mm-hmm.
But you start piling up the vaccine and the audits and something else and something else, and then it's government control. It's too much government.
That's right. And that's what it is. Because the Republicans are saying, even at a $10,000 a year number, they were going to be $600 a month.
Right.
$10,000 is still pretty close to $600 a month. I mean, it's not far off.
Is it $600 a transaction? Is what they're talking about. Is if there's a transaction of 600 or more, that's going to get audited or been red flagged, or is it a?
They're offering up $10,000 annual transactions, $10,000 in annual transactions in an account.
In an account.
That's not a lot of money.
I don't want to speak for everybody, but if you're, just think, if your rent is $500 a month. You're, plus a
that's
phone bill,
right?
You're gonna get pretty close pretty quick.
Absolutely, you're going from $600 to $833 a month.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're gonna come snooping, and this is crazy
it's
stuff.
Not good.
I just want to know when America became the enemy of the Biden administration, because it feels like they want to punish this country for what happened for 4 years. That's this feeling I have.
Can't fight feelings.
I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Sounds like a song.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon.
Breakout feelings. Nothing but feelings.
Is that Barry Manilow?
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
Morris Albert. Yeah, about the mid-70s.
Morris Albert?
He's got it.
Oh, man.
He's got it going on.
He won a Nobel Peace Prize or something?
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It's like a party in here, Coach.
Big party. Today is my sister's 48th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Megan Bruce, speaking of party.
That's awesome.
Megan Bruce Rapke up on Long Island. 48 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man.
48 years.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Awesome. That is awesome.
I was.
You were a wee child.
I was 11.
Well, a wee child. A wee child.
11.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's great. A lot of people celebrate in a lot of different ways. A lot of people celebrate a lot of different dance, dinners, stuff like that.
Yeah, where are you going with that? You're going somewhere. You always go somewhere. You try to steer the conversation down a path, and then you want to take me with you. and I have to sometimes bail before there's a major
there
crash.
There is no reason to bail. This is I'm about to just give you some interesting kind of way to live your life. I was going to share this with you.
Share it with
But
the
I wanted
audience.
To create enough separation from your sister's anniversary.
Oh, you sound like Joe Biden. You want to create separation from Terry McAuliffe.
I wanted some separation. Colorado man arrested after investigators say he set his mother's house on fire while trying to get rid of cobwebs with a blowtorch. The Boulder Daily Camera reports the 39-year-old, see what I did there?
Yeah.
The 39-year-old man, which is 11 years different than 48 wedding anniversary, the 39-year-old man was taken into custody after Monday's fire near Longmont. He faces several charges, including first-degree arson. No one was injured in the fire. Investigators said the man acknowledged using a blowtorch to clear cobwebs in the crawl space under the home. And he tried to put the fire out for an hour by himself before calling emergency crews. The blaze caused about $100,000 in damage.
Oh, man.
You imagine having to explain that? Like, what happened? I got the blowtorch and I was getting rid of cobwebs.
Yeah.
Under the porch.
Like, I want to know how big the cobwebs were.
Yeah.
And... you know, how big were there spiders in the cobwebs?
Flaming spiders.
I mean, you know, and then a torch? Like, dude.
Scary.
What happened to, like, the broom?
Just what are you doing under a porch? Like, cobweb schmobwebs. Stay out from under the porch. Get a hose.
A hose?
Just get a hose and blast it.
It's the winter.
Who cares? They'll freeze. The cobwebs are none of your concern. It's winter. I mean, what are you doing? He probably went down there. He's got like shorts.
Probably got a stash under there. He's got a stash. There's more to it than the story.
Colorado.
There's a stash
down
there.
That's right, honey.
Yeah.
Mom,
yeah.
I'm going to go clear the cobwebs.
I'm going to clear the cobwebs.
I got a spider bong down there.
A couple blunts down there.
There we go. Tim, you're up next. Welcome to the program, Tim.
All right, Brett, Coach, let me get right to the point.
Yes, sir.
The IRS and the $600 bit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they're going to do a study to see about taxing people on car mileage, how many miles you drive.
That's right.
Well, I can disconnect my odometer, but if I have 1,000 gallons worth of gas purchases that the IRS finds, and I turn in that I only drove 500 miles in a year, it's tax evasion time.
Wow, that's a good point. Wow, I didn't even think of that angle, Tim. That's crazy.
Absolutely. That's my conspiracy theory. I'm going to stick to that.
All right. That's good. That's a good take. That's good. Thank you, Tim, for being out there.
So you're doing that to match receipts against expenses and...
Now, here's the thing, though. They don't know if you go to a gas station and you buy some... You may not be buying gas. You might be buying beer. You might be buying Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Magazines.
Christmas gifts at the gas station. Listen, keep me off your list. Keep me off your Christmas list. Please.
I heard you had cobwebs. I'm buying you a blowtorch.
So you're going to buy my Christmas gift at the gas station? You get a beef jerky and a Tootsie Pop to go?
And Swisher Sweets. You don't like?
Swisher Sweets aren't bad in a pinch.
And you're playing golf?
We're playing golf or going fishing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
No, that's nice. Well, now I know what to get you.
You can get bait at a gas station.
See, I can get you bait for Christmas.
Yeah.
I shop in a lot of dynamic locations.
Yeah.
So if you're going to match up my receipts, you know, I might.
Here's what's going through my head.
Go ahead.
How slow is the IRS to begin with? Okay.
They're hiring 86,000 new agents.
They're hiring a bunch of agents. So now, who's paying for these agents? Our taxes.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, it's just a drain on the economy. Mm-hmm. It's a drain on businesses. You're going to slow down any progress, to catch somebody with a $600 receipt?
Well, right, but they need it. They need it. How much you got in your pocket? Hand it to me. These are the guys that back in the day would hold you upside down and shake till the coins came out. In the very, very bad old days.
I don't think so. I don't think they're that tough. South Street, south side of Scranton. Mm-hmm. Scranton Joe?
Scranton Joe and Corn Pop.
And Corn Pop.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. You are entering a maximum content zone at 5 o'clock 505. And I got Coach Doherty here in the house. I'm Brett Witterbull. This is the Brett Witterbull Show on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WVT. What did I say? I said it's a maximum content zone. We got a lot of content this hour, Coach, including but not limited to Bo Thompson coming by to cross the streams.
Crossing the streams. Does he wear waders when he does that?
You'll understand why. It's a reference to Ghostbusters.
Okay.
When they tell you you can't cross the streams to take out the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And then they cross the streams. And then hilarity ensues. But hold on. That'll be coming up.
Okay.
We can ask him. You can ask him that tough question. Tip him off on that, TJ. Let him know he's going to get a tough question in from Coach. It's a big one. It's a big one. Later this hour, a naked Smokey Bear statue? Potentially. But first, we've been talking about the Joe Biden vax mandate. He's gonna lay the wood on a whole bunch of businesses and institutions with 100 employees or more, telling them, get the vax or pack your bags. Something like that. He's going to tell the employees, you got to get vaxxed up. OSHA is going to be the enforcement mechanism here. There's going to be snap inspections. There's going to be raids. But most importantly, there's going to be a rat line. It's going to be a phone number that you're going to drop dime on that pesky coworker that won't get the shot and is bragging about it.
Snitching.
And what they're going to do is, I've got this on some speculation authority. Is this somebody who's
speculation authority? Is that a company, a group?
These are people in
association.
Authority. These are people in
speculation
authority. Speculating on what may end up happening. Word on the street. They're looking for Let's Go Brandon paraphernalia signs and ringtones, and they're going to start rolling it up there. You know,
I hear that's a new banner that Southwest Airlines is flying.
The one pilot was making reference to that. That's one thing for sure. But you've been working on the railroad, Coach? Have you been working
on
the railroad?
Isn't that a song? I've been working on the railroad
all the live long day. Union Pacific backs off Biden vaccine mandates after only 44% of union workers get vaxxed.
There's some industries, they're just going to give them the one-finger salute and say, I'm not doing it. And it's a lot of blue-collar workers that are just fed up and don't want you telling me what I have to. It's my body, my decision.
In October, the Sheet Metal Air, Rail, and Transportation Union with 203,000 members announced.
Sheet Metal?
Announced they were taking a stand against the Biden regime's forced vaccines. Let me say that again. The Sheet Metal Air, Rail, and Transportation Union, also known as the SMART Union. See how they did that?
Yeah, I saw it.
They came out with that announcement saying that they were not going to play. The union consists of sheet metal workers, service technicians, bus operators, engineers, conductors, sign workers, welders, production employees, and more. They're not playing ball. On Wednesday, Union Pacific announced unvaccinated employees will not be removed on the December 8th, and I'm assuming means January the 4th, 2021 deadline. These members will continue to work. Now, that's an important point, but let's be honest. If you're working on the railroad all the live long day or not, you're not easily replaceable. I mean,
no.
you can't just go get a guy at, you know, at some place.
What's his face? I mean, a guy from Utah who ran for president.
Mitt Romney. Yeah.
Right?
Mitt.
Sounds like there was a typo on the birth certificate. Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney. Anyway, he was the one, and we said this last week that you could just get another job.
That's right.
Like, he just probably thinks somebody can just slide in and be a conductor on a train that weighs how many tons, is going down the track pretty fast.
That's right.
That can impact a lot of lives.
That's right.
In a negative fashion.
That's exactly right.
And you talk about the country coming to a standstill.
Without a doubt. You want to talk about the supply chain issues.
Right?
Shut the railroads down. I mean, I'm not kidding. So they're saying we're not going to play ball. We're not playing ball with this. Union Pacific says, what do you want from us? You want Joe, you love trains. You want the stuff to keep coming?
Trains, planes, and
automobiles. You know, Some wise guy's just asking me right now. He says a conductor does something with the train. I thought he was in charge of the symphony. Wow.
Wow.
That was a nice ding.
Yeah, a little ding. Where'd he go to school?
I don't know. But he ain't part of the smart union. That's the truth. He's not part of that smart union. Hey, let's grab a quick call here real quick here. Randy, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I'll tell you, there's so much to choose from. but this may be a little off topic of what you're talking about, but it hits a little bit. So electronic vehicles versus gas vehicles.
Yes, sir.
And the push to get to it. What I don't understand is why politicians are taking a my way or the highway, you know, black or white, with this. And the reason I say that is, I mean, I do think electronic vehicles are the way to go for mm-hmm. the future. Mm-hmm. I really do. But I don't think you can just stop on a dime and go 100% full bore and lose all those jobs. And I don't understand why a politician doesn't say, this is going to be America's goal, kind of like the space, you know, getting to the moon.
Right.
Why, you know, this is our goal. We're going to get there in 30 years. And to get there, we're going to, first of all, be independent now using our oil resources, open up the pipeline again, and then gradually have a plan for moving people over to jobs in that industry and train them appropriately, you know, and plan this out instead of saying we're going to do it, you know, this quickly and too bad, so sad if you lose your job.
Right.
There's a better way to do it, and we can pitch it to the, you know, you can pitch it to the other side of the aisle to say, this is going to make America energy independent. It'll just be energy independent using solar instead of, or using, you know, electricity instead
right.
of oil. Why can't we pitch it that way and have a vision for America as opposed to just black or white and
because
and this is just the way it is? We can do it, but we got to have somebody that's going to lead us, and I don't see anybody doing that.
People, listen, you make sense. I make sense. This is not about climate change or saving the planet or any of this other sort of stuff. This is a different situation entirely. This is about taking money out of the system and giving it to preferred groups of people. And so that's why if you say to me, Brett, why do we have to send $70 trillion to Bernie Sanders to fix the climate? Why can't we just fix the climate? It's because government does not do anything but destroy productivity and foul up great ideas. And that's what it comes down to.
I mean,
that's it. Great stuff, Randy. I appreciate you being out there. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT, Brett Winterble Show, alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. This is called Crossing the Streams, Coach.
Crossing the Streams.
With me and Bo Thompson, AM and PM. Coach is puzzled by why it is we call it that, Bo Thompson.
Not a Ghostbusters guy, then.
See?
You know, I think that movie, I mean, that was a kind of a hard watch, really.
What?
Yeah. I mean, really, it was like kind of not, it wasn't that funny. It was goofy. I mean, how old were you when you watched that, Bo?
I was 10, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
What year was that?
How old are you, Bo?
1984.
84, okay.
See, I was a senior in college, so I was 18.
So, I mean,
20.
Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, but they're funny, but
Ramis?
That movie was not that funny.
Okay.
Not even the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, where they have to cross the streams? Dogs
so
and cats living together?
No, that wasn't that funny. Now, if you give me, you give me Caddyshack, or you give me Trading Places.
But see, if you like those two, I find it strange that you don't like Ghostbusters.
Oh, why'd you have to say strange? that's very passive-aggressive, Bo. Unnecessary, but typical Davidson Duke type of comment.
Well, what if I told you that the streams were Carolina Blue? Would that help things?
No, it just makes me nervous. When I think of streams, I'm thinking of, the snow and people standing
in the snow.
In the snow, and you know,
see that's the problem. See, you gotta get your head out of the gutter like that.
Who said it was in the gutter, Bo?
Well, you're the one who said standing outside in the snow. What does that imply?
I thought we were going to the gutter. Maybe not there yet, but I'm just so anyway.
All right. Well, you know what? I think we'll call it a tie.
If you were going to turn around and so what did you think of the movie Back to the Future?
I'm not a fan of Back to the Future.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Michael J. Fox and you know. The only thing I liked about that was the, was it McLaren?
The DeLorean.
DeLorean. McLaren, DeLorean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's
well, Brett, this has been a great segment. I'll talk to you next time.
You got it, buddy.
Did I kill that segment?
No, you didn't kill the show. We're all good.
Did I gym it?
No, you gymmed it.
Did I gym it?
You know, Jim kills our show like once a week, Bo, and Matt just became Jim.
Wow, you're the first person who's ever killed this segment.
No. I can probably do it before the end of the week.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know, kill can mean good, too.
Well, that's very true.
When you're a comedian, you go on the stage and say, I killed. That's good, right?
Well, I got a remedy for this.
Okay.
You ready for the remedy?
Uh-huh.
No, we're not. Never mind. No.
You can cut me off.
That's I keep trying to. You know how hard it is to dump Coach when he's in the room with you?
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah, it's tough.
All right, Bo Thompson, welcome to the program. This is the Crossing the Stream segment. I want to welcome you to the program. And here we go. I think
you're going to say one thing.
Please.
Go Heels.
Oh, nice. Nice,
very
Bo.
Very nice.
Are you in the building, Bo?
No.
You know, he's prepping for tomorrow already.
I've spent enough time in that building today. Right. I got to spend a few times out.
He's already it's already Friday for Bo.
That's right.
And that's it, man. You know.
I've already turned my clock back.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you brought this up. This is something of some contention within my household. Okay.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is, my wife and kids make the effort for the 10 days running into the time change to avoid any reference of it to me because I don't pay attention. And twice I have been burned and I am ruined for 2 weeks when I sleep in too late or I get up too early as a result of the time change and me not being informed of it. And so I am so glad you talked about the time change because now I know it's coming sometime in the next month or so.
Well, that's not a good thing to happen if you work in radio.
Yeah, not a good thing, and especially in today's day with smartphones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a little concerning, isn't it?
So when you say that it's bitten you, like, what, you were late for something, or you were too early for something, or what was it?
So it always happens, like, on a Saturday night into Sunday morning, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I get up, and I'm like, hey, okay, everything is cool, yeah. And then it's like, no, it's actually 10 o'clock. It's not 9 o'clock. What are you doing? You know, and you're like, oh, I just lost an hour. I wanted to know this in advance. So I'm happy that I know because my wife and kids do try to conceal it from me. They think it's funny that I get confused with the clock shift.
Well, so I've given you the heads up this year. So they've lost their
correct.
Their joke.
Correct. And that is why this tells me something very important. I will also not be bitten by Whamageddon. So this is going to be good. I'm expecting a victorious year to close this 21 year out.
Excellent.
So let me ask you a question about this vax mandate thing coming from Biden.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out. He says, you better take this shot. We're going to have tip-off lines, tip lines. People are going to be able to call in. They're going to give people up if you're in a company with more than 100 employees. You've got to pay the fine, $14,000. You've got to pay the freight to get those COVID tests. What do we think of this? It feels like this is a president desperate to really turn on the American people after a bad election.
Yeah, of all the things that you could have done 2 days after what happened on Tuesday, this doesn't seem to me like number one in the playbook. When I read this, I mean, most. Do you think I'm correct when I say most companies of this size are already doing this? There's already a vaccine mandate?
Probably. I think white-collar companies and some blue-collar companies. But we just had the story that Union Pacific says they're not going to enforce the shot for employees because only 40% of them are getting the shot, and that's a vital business. So I think most people are probably already hammering down on the workers this way.
Yeah, I think so, too. However, back to your point about the optics of this and I'm really curious as he's going to. I'm curious at how this all went down. This advice to him.
Yep.
Because this would not be the move I would have made 2 days after what happened in Virginia, and you know, to a degree across the country. It's just the timing of it is questionable to me. If you're trying to do a little damage control after a day that was a lot worse than you expected it, you know, 1 year in.
Or maybe you just want to punish the people of the country for not going along with your Build Back Better and your Green New Deal and all the stuff that's the infrastructure that's not come through. I mean, he's cruising into the second year of his presidency and he doesn't have much to show for it.
So So essentially, as Nancy Pelosi has done, double down.
Double down. That's right. We're going to double down and build back better, Bo.
It's an interesting, maybe in the end he knows how this is all going to end, but it certainly seems like a strange strategy at this point.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
This week.
I think so, too, in a big way. What do we got coming up tomorrow on the Bo Thompson Morning Show?
Well, hey, check this out. At 7:20 tomorrow, the voice of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Jones Angel. That's for your co-host right there.
Jones is a good man. Jones is a good man.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Jones Angel joins me every week, usually Thursdays, but this week tomorrow. And then we got Nick Wilson from FNZ at 7:50. We have Sean O'Connell, my longtime movie reviewer, tomorrow. A new Marvel movie coming out called The Eternals. And then, of course, Charlotte's most beloved John Hancock is with me on Fridays from 9 to 10. And we have his big weekend at 9:35. So lots on the big Friday show. And Sean is going to actually do a retro movie review of Ghostbusters for us.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, let's get Coach on, and we'll have him break it down, and the coach, and he can kick it around. Are you up for that, Coach?
Yeah, man.
He's in.
Who you going to call?
All right. Bo, have a great night, man. I appreciate you, buddy. News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterble Show, alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. So, Coach.
Yo.
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this coverage, and some folks have been talking about it in the media, as you might expect. Scottie Pippen has got a new book coming out regarding his relationship with Michael Jordan, and what's striking to me is it feels like there's a lot of sour grapes coming out of Scottie Pippen based on a number of grievances that he's gotten. The most recent one appears to be what happened with this Last Dance ESPN documentary.
Scottie Pippen was a great player, one of the top 50 all-time basketball players when they first came out with that, and you know, won obviously multiple championships and was, you know, the.
Is that him calling you?
The Batman, the Robin to Michael Jordan's Batman. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, he resented it a little bit. And when he tried to go out on his own, he couldn't deliver the same goods. He got exposed when he wouldn't go in the game when Phil Jackson drew up a play for Tony Kukoc and not Scottie Pippen when after Michael had stepped away. He just feels that he is not as important as he wants to be, and I think he tries to just tear some people down to bring them down to his level, whether it be Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, or somebody else. And I think instead of just embracing the greatness that he had, the great career he had, mm-hmm. by doing this, it just makes him seems smaller to me.
What about that challenge? You've seen it up close with a number of great players and people who have done well. You've done very well for yourself. But what about that? I mean, do people carry it with them that long? I mean, you know, we're talking years and years and
yes.
years later.
I think so. I mean, you know, it's hard if it's really cut you, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a scar that goes for a long time. And, you know, I wrote a book about rebounding from the pain of losing my job, and that book right. came 17 years after I lost my job. So, mm-hmm. yeah, if it really cuts you that hard, mm-hmm. yes. But then there are the triggers. I talk in my book, I right. talk about the bridge over the bitter river. So right. you're going over this river, you're trying to take the high road, mm-hmm. but it's a winding road. It's in bad weather. There's no guardrails.
Right.
You're holding on, and you're driving. And then all of a sudden, Scottie Pippen sees The Last Dance mm-hmm. and sees this story that comes out, and it's portrayed by Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. and he controls it. So it makes Scottie look bad, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, he takes it as looking bad, maybe, and it triggers an emotion in him. So now he writes a book mm-hmm. and lashes out.
Yeah.
So it's managing those triggers in a professional way. And I go back to, who are the truth tellers in your life?
Right.
Who's around Scottie Pippen and says, Scottie, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win this fight.
Right.
You know, and that's where the forgiveness part comes in. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, Michael's, I don't like what Michael's doing. I forgive him. And then forgive yourself for the way you feel about certain things, because you can't go around trying to fix every wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, you're perceived, when you're perceived that you've been wrong, life's too short.
Do you have a lot of interaction with executives, people you coach, former players, what have you? You just people in your universe that do get stuck and can't help but keep looking back.
How do you
unstick that?
That's very hard. I think that's again part of my book. I think you got to look at the film,
right?
Be surrounded by truth tellers. Take accountability for your part in it. Mm-hmm. You know, Roy Williams would always say when I was working for him, you know, if you're pointing a finger at somebody else, there are three fingers pointing back at you.
Right.
So you've had something to do with
it. Right.
Now, then fall on your faith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think our country's lacking a little bit.
Oh, amen.
Because they don't have faith. I don't care if you're Jewish or Catholic or just Christian.
Right.
But what's your faith? And then, you know, to me, you know, I was bitter and fell in the bitter river several times. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know what? Jesus was on the cross.
Yeah.
And he said, "Dear Father, forgive these men, for they don't know what they're doing."
That's right.
And if he could do that in that moment, I can forgive people that I think slighted me.
Yeah.
But then I think ultimately you have to forgive yourself for going down this dark path, because it's really a matter of ego and pride.
I think this is an interesting thing that's happening with Pippen, in that you ought to just build out your own thing. Whatever that is, you need to take control and build your... Like, I always think about what happened with Steve Jobs. He founds Apple, gets fired from them. It's his company.
Right.
You know, it's like these rock stars that get fired from their own band. And you're like, I started this band. I did all this, and now I'm out.
Right. No, I mean, I'm looking at a quote Scottie Pippen says in his book, talks about The Last Dance, the documentary ESPN that Michael Jordan, you know, controlled. He glorified Michael Jordan while not giving nearly enough praise to me and my proud teammates.
Yeah.
He even says, proud. The pride is getting in the way. How dare Michael treat us that way after everything we did for him and his precious brand? Scotty, what did Michael do for you? You rode his coattails to multiple championships, millions of dollars, and being recognized as one of the best players ever to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, to make it worse, Michael received $10 million for his role in the documentary, while my teammates and I didn't earn a dime. Well, give Michael credit for putting that project together and having the smarts and the savvy and the wherewithal to do that while you're busy buying planes that don't have engines. Mm-hmm. Google that one.
Coach, great insights. Talk, News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show. It's the coach, Matt Doherty. And you know who else is here? Mark Garrison, the proprietor, the man, the head, the boss of Charlotte at 6. Hello, Mark Garrison.
Hello there. Hello, coach.
Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So we got a show called Charlotte at 6. What's coming up?
Well, we'll start with the local businesses scrambling now that the White House says companies have to require the COVID shot or weekly testing. Talk to a local HR expert who said, there's a lot more to this. Companies will even have to require the shot from contractors who work in their businesses.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they got a tip line.
Yeah.
You can drop dime on people.
14,000 per violation is what it could be. Yeah.
How do they come up with 14? Like, why is it 12?
That's a good question.
How come it's not 15? How come it's not 1435?
They're going to make it nasty.
Yeah.
14's nasty.
That's a good question. 620, Mecklenburg's mask mandate continues. The county health department is using a completely unscientific, whimsical formula, however, as to when we might get to take the mask off. No science to it. Well, it's just something they concocted.
Let's read some entrails.
Visit a North Carolina Christmas tree farm. They are busy right now.
Love that.
Yeah. And at 6:35, Dirty Restaurant Thursday, here we go. The best known priciest steak joint uptown with a low score.
Whoa! Yeah. I'll take 20% off that price, please. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Mark Garrison, we're looking forward to it, my friend.
Yep.
All right, that's Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. Let's go over and talk to Maureen. Hello, Maureen. Welcome to the show.
Hi. You were talking earlier about vaccinations, and I just hope people realize that this is not benign for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Just my little anecdotal stories are, I have a cousin who died the day after a J&J shot.
God.
I have my son-in-law's sister, perfectly healthy 21-year-old, mm-hmm. two shots, is now on 3 anti-seizure medications, can't drive, can't work.
Oh, my God.
So there are people who seriously have been hurt mm-hmm. by this shot. Mm-hmm. And now recently, the CDC, some researchers were going through their numbers for shots for pregnant women, and they found out in the first trimester that 81 to 91% of those women who were given those shots in the first trimester miscarried. Mm-hmm. And no one's talking about this.
Yeah.
And it's shameful. Doctors are still telling pregnant women, yeah, it's safe to take the vaccination. They have no idea what they're saying, but they're all just going along with this narrative. And now people who, against their better judgment, against their...
Yep.
You know, their medical history, against all everything they think, are going to go get that shot because they don't want to lose their homes. They don't want to lose their jobs.
That's right. That's right. They figured out a way to systematically turn people against each other in this country. It's disgraceful. I think at some point there's going to have to be a reckoning for this sort of stuff. And it's going to have to be very serious. And the people who are responsible for the way this has been carried out are going to have to face very serious consequences.
Well, for example, my daughter mm-hmm. yesterday went in for, she has not her full-time job, but another job she has.
Right.
And she walked in and they said, we want to see your vaccine, proof of vaccination, basically.
Right.
And she just said, I'm not showing you anything about my medical history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what a lot more people who are in the position to do so, they need to say whether they're vaccinated or not.
Yep.
They just need to say no. Mm-hmm. Because by doing that, what is the next thing the government's going to make you do?
Sure.
You know, at some point, they're going to make you do something that's going to hurt you in some way. It's going to be against your morals. It's going to hurt you physically.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt your children.
You're
at
right.
At what point are people just going to say no?
Yeah. Well said. We will stay on this. I promise you we will continue to look at this, and I appreciate you calling in today, Maureen.
Thank you.
You got it.
I think she's right on. I like the way she said, you know, whether you're vaccinated or not, you should say no.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it's private. It's my body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't have to know what meds I'm on. You don't have to know, you know,
right.
What about the HIPAA law? Like, you know, you shouldn't ask. No, don't ask, don't tell. Mm-hmm. It's
if you ran a business and said, we're not going to hire anybody who's colorblind or has a limp or something like that without giving us a notice to why you have these conditions, you'd be in court.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be in court. So, I mean, What'd you drink last night? What medicines did you take this morning? Does your family have a history of Alzheimer's? You know, you can't have the job.
Especially, it doesn't have a direct impact on the mm-hmm. person sitting across from them.
That's
because
right.
Who's to say, you know, if I'm unvaccinated, you're vaccinated, I come in, who's to say I have COVID? Am I more likely to get COVID? Because, I think I'm more likely to be impacted negatively by COVID.
Right.
And that's my choice.
The fact of the matter is Biden will overcorrect as he does always, and he'll crash this truck into a stanchion. I guarantee it. Whoever's advising him is giving him terrible advice. It's just that's a 26-foot-tall Smokey Bear statue that stands over the city of International Falls will no longer don earmuffs in the winter or fishing gear in the summer. The city council voted unanimously last week to prohibit dressing the iconic figure in any garb other than his traditional blue jeans, belt, buckle, and campaign hat with a shovel in his hand. They've said that they're not going to dress them fancy for the different holidays and the different times of the year and all that sort
because
of stuff.
Because it offends people?
Yes. Yes. They said that they're worried that the statue of Smokey the Bear is going to get damaged.
Damaged.
Damaged. So they're just going to say, no fun. He stays naked with his hat and his pants and his fun for anybody.
He's technically not naked. Like you,
he's shirtless.
You misled us a little
He's shirtless.
You misled us a little
He's
bit.
He's chest nude.
Chest nude, is that a term? Is that one word or is it hyphenated?
Let me tell you, that's what it is. He's nude. He's nude above the waist. Where is the Where is the earth sign dignity for bears? Or are they sending some kind of a sublime message? I don't want to get into it.
That's for the next show.
My eyebrows just went up three times.
I think.
Thank you, Coach.
I think that's good talk for the next show.
We'll act it out.
Chest nude.
Yes. TJ, Josh, Coach, Anna, Boomer, Mark, Bo Thompson, and Smokey Bear. God bless you. I'm Brett Witterbull, News Talk 1110-993 WBT.